Hi, good morning, and welcome to the Call to Learn Table Talk discussion number 64. We are Tom and Trusta Neal. It's not morning.
It's only morning in Alaska and Hawaii right now.
Well, welcome, Alaska
and Hawaii. Points, yeah.
Afternoon. Good afternoon. All right, so today we're going to be talking about the forehead. And we took our text from the scriptures from Revelation 22:4, and it says, "And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads." We talked earlier about having written on their foreheads. It'll be in their foreheads. So, could be in their minds.
Well, so the only thing that comes to my mind is, it is, if it's right here, if it's written in their forehead, then it, in would imply just beyond that, mm-hmm. right? Which would suggest in the front of your mind.
Yeah.
And we use that as a, we use that all the time as a, mm-hmm. as an expression that somebody's on your mind or it's in the front of my mind.
Uh-huh.
Being that it's
so
right
like
there.
Always remember him.
Yes.
Kind of thing.
Which is like the most important thing we're supposed to do. Yes. One of the most important things. So.
Yep. Always.
So that fits.
Okay. All right. So the forehead. What is the forehead? Where is the forehead? The forehead is the upper part of your face, right? It's the part from the hairline to the nose and from the temple to the temple. So that's the forehead. That's exactly where that goes. So in the scriptures, we talk about a fun little story about David and Goliath.
Fun little story.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's one way of describing it.
Well, I think it's a fun little story because I've been learning a lot about it. I've been taking an Old Testament class and my professor asked me, so what is the most fundamental part of the David and Goliath story? What would be your answer?
The fundamental part? To me, the fundamental part is that standing up when there's something that needs to be done, that God needs to have done, mm-hmm. being willing to do it, and then he will make you succeed. Doesn't matter what the obstacle is.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought too.
So what did he think?
And he thought a little bit differently. He said that how David persuaded Saul to let him go into the field was the most significant part.
Really?
Yeah, think about it. You're a king. You're going to let a little boy represent you?
Okay.
He had to persuade him that it would be okay. So anyway, there's the doctrine of persuasion that's pretty powerful. We need to persuade all the time. Even Heavenly Father asks us to get baptized and then to start sharing what we know and persuade people to join and come unto Christ. Mm-hmm. So that persuasion there was significant, huge. Makes you think, huh?
Well, I was thinking, do we try to persuade God? Mm, now, hang on.
Okay, you tell me.
When we pray, we're supposed to pray with all diligence.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're seeking something from him, we need to be doing it with that diligence and that persuasion.
Mm.
But what does persuasion do in that spot, in that sense? It's not convincing God to do something you want to do.
It's a different definition there.
It's not convincing it. You're not convincing anyone, but you are showing yourself
mm-hmm.
how important it is to you. Yeah. So that's what I thought about that.
Yeah, pretty cool. So David and Goliath. So David goes out. He's a little boy or young man, and he picks up 5 stones. He uses his sling. This goes around and around, and he hits Goliath right where?
In the forehead.
That's
which
why
is why
we
we're bringing
the story,
that up. That
right?
story.
So he hits him right between the eyes, right in the forehead. And I thought, is that a significant thing? I mean, he could have hit him in the heart and pushed him over. He could have hit him in the eye. He could have hit him in, you know, with the force is what pushed him over. But he hit him in the forehead. Is there some significance to this? I've been pondering it for days, actually. What do you think?
I think it should be pondered because if God is supposed to be written in his name in our foreheads,
mm-hmm.
and if we use reference to you see it in different cultures, you see it in history,
mm-hmm.
where people mark the forehead.
Yeah.
And so to be marked in the forehead.
Yeah, he would be marked. It would be a red mark. if not more. Yeah.
I just don't know exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Because it's all the, we'll talk more about the marking of the forehead in different cultures and different religious pieces and whatnot later, but it's, when you start thinking about it in that manner.
Yeah.
You start.
So my thoughts were this. My thoughts were that we, he hit him in the forehead, and the forehead is the forefront of your mind, right? The something that's supposed to be on your mind. And he was, believing, he was believing in himself, right? He had a lot of arrogance and confidence that he would be taken out. And so God was trying to show him that his thoughts that he was currently having were not proper, were not right.
Okay.
That's it, one definition, one idea.
You could also say that that was one way to get the Lord imprinted on his forehead.
Yeah. He didn't have much time to have that imprinted.
I'm not sure that's the point.
He lost his life right after that.
Yeah, I don't think that's the point.
Yeah,
but,
no.
It makes it fun.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about some of the interesting facts or fun facts about foreheads.
Are there fun facts? Because, I mean, to me, it's just kind of... Of course, I thought that about the nose, too, right? I mean, you feel someone's forehead to find out if they have a temperature?
Hey, that's good. That's significant.
I guess.
So why is that? Do you guys know why we feel our forehead is? Because just like the lip has really close capillaries that makes it lips red, there are close nerve endings here. And so your head will heat up, or the back of your neck will heat up faster than your cheeks will or your arms will, things like that. Yeah, the Greeks thought that big foreheads indicated intelligence.
Well, yeah, because you got a big brain behind that, right?
Yeah, that's what they thought. They thought there was a big brain. So when I was little, we had a man in our ward who had big, huge bumps. Like, they were, like, significant bumps on his head, and he was bald. And I loved that man. He was so intelligent, so friendly, so
smart.
See, he
was bursting
and
out
I just
everywhere.
Thought, I really liked him, and I did associate, you know, big foreheads. He was bald, big foreheads with bumps on them is to be intelligent. And then he received medicine and ended up having the bumps gone, and I did never recognize that they were gone. I just, like, one day thought, oh, they're gone. So I don't know what they were or anything, but I did friendliness and intelligence is what I have always associated with big foreheads, but that's personal. also the chakras that have the third eye here in the forehead. And so that's significant.
It's also where a cyclops would have their eye.
Well, is it? I wondered about
that. Well,
that
can't be on in the nose.
No, I guess it couldn't, but it really can't be in the forehead either. So I would wonder if their nose was just bent down and they put their eye. I don't know. I don't know what a cyclops is. Who cares, I guess.
This is mythical.
Yeah. All right. So in the theology tree, we're talking about now the science branch of humanology.
Right.
So in humanology, we study the human body. So when you're looking at the forehead, you're going to learn the anatomy of the forehead.
Mm-hmm.
So, hairline is one of them. Some people's hairlines are really close and some people's are really far back. And is that significant? Some people think there are. And in the notebook, there is a little bit about the different kinds of foreheads there are and the different ways and shapes and personalities that go with your person, your foreheads, which, you know, you could take here or there. Also the eyebrows. Now, something that I thought that was really fascinating is that your eyes, I always thought, what protects your eyes? Well, your eyelids and your eyebrows. But it's also the skull, right? Mm-hmm. The way the skull, the forehead goes
right
down.
We discussed that during the eyes.
When the eyes, yeah.
When we talked about eyes, we discussed that because they're set back to protect them.
Exactly.
Because they're so
exposed. So the forehead's really the biggest protection of the eyes.
I guess your nose is too. Keeps things further away.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. All right, in the science branch of zoology, the study of animals, There are lots of animals that have big foreheads, but the biggest one that I found was the beluga whale.
Yeah, it's rather large.
Yes. Do you know why he has a big forehead?
It has to do with his echolocation, doesn't it?
Yes, exactly.
And how they vocalize to it. And I think a lot, actually, dolphins use, their foreheads are involved in echolocation as
well. Yeah, all the whales' family is like that, yeah. But the beluga whale specifically larger. It has it come up straight up instead of back and then around, so. Yep. Yeah, then there's different types of foreheads. They even have names for them. The furrowed brow. We hear that quite often,
To me, that seems...
Yeah. Or the beetled brow. This would be like a hard shell, almost, I would think. It means you have a bad temper. Or the tender forehead would be describing a modest...
More tender?
Yeah, or...
More sensitive?
Mm-hmm. Humility. A high brow indicates superior intellect. We talked about that. It's not always.
But. Well, it also, or what's the term? Haughtiness, too, goes with that.
And the way that came about was that they knew that the brain was inside the skull, right? And so if you had a bigger brain, that must mean you're a bit more intelligent. And so you would need more space, so you would need a bigger head. And if your forehead was small, then that would indicate that you had a small brain, therefore you were not as intelligent.
Yeah, so the highbrow, I remember hearing that as a kid, that phrase. Mm-hmm. And it had to do with, like, things that are more difficult to understand.
Yeah.
Situations that might be more challenging. Mm-hmm. But intellectually challenging, not physically challenging.
Yeah. So. Yeah. All right. In the literature branch, we learn about different cultures. So one of the branches off of literature is to study the different nations. And in there, you can study, as far as the forehead is concerned, study about the different cultures, like the Egyptians. The Egyptians would put henna, they would paint henna onto their temples for different reasons. There was different marks for different purposes.
So it's a mark of some sort.
Yeah.
And of course, there's the Catholics at one time. I don't know that if some practice this now, but would put Ash Wednesday, they would put ash mark on their forehead.
Yeah, in the form of a cross.
Right.
And that was and I think some of them still do. They just to mark their ready, to, you know, no more meat. They're going to...
Their readiness. Or their commitment to...
To Christ,
yeah. But I don't really know that much about that one. Yeah. I remember that as a kid.
The Hindu also have the red mark on their forehead. That's to indicate the third eye. Again, we mentioned that. So the third eye saying that it's their spiritual eye. It's the eye that's always opened so that they can always be aware of Christ, that it never sleeps, just like Christ never sleeps. It's always aware of the spiritual things around them. And then the Muslims also had a marking on their forehead, and so did the Tibetans. And always usually in the center of their forehead.
Yeah, and so this was a religious... This is mostly religious reasons for this, which is interesting because that kind of goes back to the marking on the forehead. The having his name written in the forehead.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely think that it originated from that command in the Old Testament. Yeah, absolutely. Now, in your workbook, you also have a whole bunch of descriptions from in the... Well, so start over there. The theology branch, the theology tree with the language branch or the literature branch, it has a whole bunch of classics. So that's another branch off the literature. And so you have a whole bunch of classics. So I gave you a whole bunch of markings, a whole bunch of sayings that are written in classics. So let's give you an instance. So Moby Dick has reference to the forehead quite a bit. And here's one of them. But avast, he added, tapping his forehead, you haint no objection to sharing a harpooner's blanket, have ye? So tapping his forehead. What is it you think that... To me, that means thinking about.
Yeah.
But to tap your forehead. In Holland, we tap our forehead, and this means stupid, right? To call you, yeah, you're such an idiot, you know, that kind of thing. But in this one would mean thinking. But I think maybe that's related to sign language. Think.
I don't know. Yeah, well, anyway. Or the fact that that's natural, being that this is where our brain is. Mm-hmm. So we're tapping. It's a stimulant, a stimulation thing. It's like when in body language, when you kind of tug at the ear or you play with it, you're trying to hear better.
Yeah.
Typically, and help you understand better. This one, tapping of the forehead, when you tap something, when you mm-hmm. touch something, it encourages blood flow.
Okay.
To that area.
So what does that mean?
So that, well, when you, like another one is, it's not specifically tapping forehead, but it is a similar example, is someone scratching their head, mm-hmm. that they will often do that to, you know, try to understand or think about something. It's stimulating
those neurons.
Yes. It may not technically be doing that.
Yeah.
But the point is that's our body's natural reaction to try to stimulate there.
Yeah. Makes sense. Interesting.
So tapping the head, tapping would be that way too, is why we might think that way.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Other marks on the forehead could mean, and this is for different cultures have use this, right? Divine love. So we talked about that third eye could mean that just the love of God.
Being under the Lord's protection?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
It's a
protection, I think. Yeah.
Well, and I think that goes back to what you were saying about it protects the brain
mm-hmm.
And it protects the eyes.
Yeah.
It's a protection.
Yeah, I agree. To be in a safety from the infestations of evil, which are from hell, and because they are in the Lord's hands through love. So again, in the Lord's protection.
Okay.
Yeah. And that also there's a reference to the brazen forehead.
Mm-hmm.
And the brazen forehead in Isaiah means to be hard of the forehead. And I don't think we talk about that here, but we're going to go into great detail about the brazen forehead and the thing and being hard-foreheaded, like hard-headed. In Hebrew, there is the word for forehead is metzach. And that is just a typical word. It just means just the forefront of your face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the word mark, and this is what I really loved and I thought was really fascinating, the word mark is the last letter in the alphabet.
Tav.
Is Tav, yeah. And Tav, in the ancient Tav was just written as a mark, just like a cross
mm-hmm.
or an X. And so if you were to say marked with God, right? So Aleph and Omega is beginning and the end. In Hebrew, you would say Aleph and Tav instead of in Greek.
Mm-hmm.
And this, so you could say that the mark means I am marked with God from beginning to end.
Oh. Okay.
So that little cross on the forehead, mm-hmm. I am marked with God from beginning to end. So there's a little Hebrew there. And also, you know a lot about this from our Hebrew class.
I know about it, yeah.
So tell us about the Teflon.
Well, I don't know if I can tell you much about the Teflon. I don't remember. Okay. I don't know that I remember, except that it was a written scripture that was written,
mm-hmm.
Scripture passages, specific scriptural passages.
Yes.
That were written, and then they were worn on the forehead because they were supposed to be remembered.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's two little boxes, one that was close to the forehead and one sitting on top of the box. I'll show you some pictures here. So see how it's about on top of their forehead or on top of their head? Some people put it right here. Some people think that it should be on top of their head, above, like in their hairline. Anyway, it's a part of the precepts of the Old Testament that mm-hmm. they wanted to put there. And always to be before you. So if you had something sitting here the whole time, you would be seeing that pretty a lot, right? It's in front of you.
Even if you didn't see it, like you say, some put it further up.
Yeah.
You would still, it's pretty prominent there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There was two. This one's, the head Teflon is here, but they also had one for the left arm, and they wrapped it around their arm so it'd be close to their heart, and that's the arm Teflon. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's talk about the brass brow now.
Okay. So hard-headed.
Yep, hard-headed.
Stubborn.
That's, mm-hmm, that's exactly right. So my professor who is teaching us this, he said, look up. So we all looked up. And he goes, now look up without moving your eyebrows or your forehead.
You don't see very far.
No, you can't see very far at all.
Because the minute I actually, oh, I am seeing up there. Oh, wait, I moved my forehead.
Yeah. So you have stiff-necked, right? It means you can't go forward or bowing.
You can't look either direction. And you can't moving. Either.
Yeah, and you're not looking. So you're stiff-necked, and then you have a brazen brow. So the stiff-necked and the brazen brow means that they're not turning to God for all of their answers.
Well, not willing to be led.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Not willing to be led by God. And so they don't turn to God to find out their next move, or they don't turn to God. So do it with your children. See if you can lift them up and try not to use their eyebrows or their forehead and look it up.
Can you look at?
Yeah.
You'll probably get a lot of going, okay.
Can you see up now when you have your eyes closed? Right. So, yeah, it was a big message from Isaiah to the people in Israel at the time that they were turning away from God. And he was calling them, you have a brazen brow. Mm-hmm. And they got it, right? They understood that. We don't today because we're like, okay, so we just kind of read past
it. Well, because we don't speak in symbols.
Symbols like they did, yeah. Yeah. But we can see hard-hearted or won't be led
hard-headed,
like you said. Hard-headed. Yeah. Oh, yeah, hard-headed, yeah. Anyway, so that is like a brazen brow. I found this picture with a helmet that made the brazen. And you can tell that this guy cannot look up, right? He can't see when he goes up. He can look maybe straight ahead and down, but he can't look up.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about some symbols of the forehead. So now that we've talked all about the forehead, looked it up, did a whole bunch of research on it, what symbols would you pull from the forehead?
One of the first things I think about when we're talking about the forehead is, if we're going to relate it to the scriptures and whatnot, is Adam. Because Adam was commanded that he would get his food prepared, take care of his family, mm-hmm, through the sweat of his brow.
That's right. That's good.
So that's, yeah, that's
so fun. Hard work.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, and he did.
So there's another, there's another meaning to something to do with the brow, mm-hmm, is like you just said, hard work is it's a symbol of hard work.
Yeah. The sweat of thy brow. We often sweat, mm-hmm, here, right? Mm-hmm. When we're ever rubbing our foreheads,
that's
when
part
we're
of
working.
Why we have eyebrows, right?
Mm-hmm. To keep out the sweat of your eyes. Yeah, that's right. Another one is the obstinate, being very obstinate, with the brazen brow would, mm-hmm, be another word for to explain that. So we've got the hard work, we've got obstinate. We have another one.
Mm. Not turning to God, but that's pretty much the same thing as the obstinate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Another one is loyal. When
how does that one work?
So God talked to his prophets, and there's Jeremiah 3. Verse 8, he was talking to his prophets and he says, you are doing what I asked you to do, and I'm going to make your forehead soft. So loyal to God. They've already turned to God. They've already looked towards God. And so they're going to, so he's going to bless them. He's going to make this is how I visualize it. He's going to make their eyebrows soft or their forehead soft so that they can always remember him, always turn to him. And make it easier for them to turn to him.
Okay. So I'll tell you why.
Okay. You tell me yours.
So my thought on that was, it being softening of the brow. When something is hard-headed, we say sometimes use the hard-headedness for, as we said before, for meaning stubborn, but also hard time learning.
Hard time learning anything.
Yeah. A hard time getting something, learning something.
I like that.
So when you first said that he, you know, and you read that part where he said that, that I will make your brow soften mm-hmm. your brow. That to me, I thought, well, then they can learn more from God quicker.
Yeah.
Because it's softer and they can learn more.
Yeah.
Absorb it.
That's cool. So it reminds me of being able to receive the mysteries of heaven.
Right.
And understand them better.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as we've often said, right, knowledge is in the brain, and then when it's understanding, it gets into the heart. So if it gets easily into the brain through the forehead, right, because it's soft and you get more of it, then it's easier to understand because more is coming in.
Yeah.
It can fall out.
Cool.
Yeah, that's really cool. Symbols. And then we have several scriptures, which we've already mentioned, most of them. I think there's one we haven't talked about, the
red marks.
Yeah.
So if you remember the story, and keep me on track here because I do tend to get stories confused, but they had left. They were the Amalekites were the ones who had, they had left being Nephites mm-hmm. to go be part of the Lamanites, mm-hmm. and the Lamanites already have a mark. And so if they're going to go to battle with the Nephites, they need to know who's who.
Right.
And so they marked their foreheads. Mm-hmm. But I can't help wonder if there was more, there's more significance than that to me. Because their mark was in defiance. Instead of other ones we talk about are loyalty to God or remembering him. Mm-hmm. This was like a defiance of God.
Right, yeah, it was. It was saying we're going to go against you and we're going to make our own mark and we're going to become our own people. Yeah, against God, away from God, yeah. And then also in Revelations, it talks about how the Satan will put the mark of the beast in the forehead. And some people have interpreted that as a barcode and some people have interpreted it as a chip and, you know, and who knows what that is or what even that means, but it's the mark of the forehead that is being done by the beast. And it might be something we just do ourselves. So who knows?
Yeah, well, to me it sounds...
It's a second coming.
Certainly is even without a mark, even without a mark that you see. Mm-hmm. If Christ is saying that we need to have his name in our forehead, then it's logical that...
Satan would want his name.
Meaning... You're thinking about doing evil. You're thinking of evil. You're keeping that on your mind instead of goodness.
Yeah, I think that's a very good definition.
So,
So it's the way
may
of
not
thinking.
Be. It may not actually be something we can see.
Yeah,
I mean, can see. You know, just by seeing a person real quick. Mm-hmm. Having said that, if you have an attitude towards God or an attitude towards Satan, you can see it in the face. A lot of times.
Really? How?
Well, it isn't always something, but you can see kindness in a face. Mm. You can see empathy in a face. And you can see anger. And I don't mean... I'm not just talking about when in the moment someone is angry.
Yeah.
But just a part of their countenance.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So make sure you have God in your countenance.
And so, okay, I don't know that this is ever said, but in my mind, when anyone talks about, you know, the song that says, do you have the image, his image in your mm-hmm. countenance? I guess, and the idea is that countenance is your whole being. But to me, I always think of, and maybe it's because like we talked about last week, when we think of a person, we think of their face. I always think of the countenance as being right up in the upper part of the face. That's just something I think of when I think of that.
Yeah. One thing that I'm reminded with countenance is there's a story out there called The Purifier of Silver. And it talks about how this lady goes in and asks the silversmith how he does it. And he tells her all the details and what he does. And he goes, wait, I need to tell you the whole thing. I stay here until I can see my image in the silver.
Right.
Then that's when I know it's done. And so that reminds me of, you know, seeing his image. He wants to see his image by the time he's done with us.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. All right, so in the theology connection then, what branches did we use? Think about that. And also, what kinds of principles did we discover here? We talked about several different principles. And write down those principles and then be able to teach those principles with your children. All right, thanks for joining us.
Okay, that's it for today. We'll see you next time.
Love you guys. Bye.
Bye.